Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
I'm not quite sure who it's for, but the word unqualified keeps popping into... I can feel it. It's a feeling, somebody feeling unqualified. And the Lord wants you to know that what you feel is unqualified is actually just an area for Him to prove how qualified you are in Him. Some of the greatest people in the Bible were completely unqualified for, He's saying, what I had for them. But it was through their willingness and open heart that I was able to do mighty things. Because I have created you to be mighty. I have created you to be more than a conqueror. And though you feel unqualified, I have made you more than qualified for what I have placed you within.
Whew, it's thick in here today. I asked my husband when the angels came in, and it was with the blessing song. Thank you, Lord. We were at a Bible study not too long ago, and I just felt that the Lord wanted to bless the men, and I asked the men to stand up, and that blessing from that song is what I spoke over them, and the men were just like radiant afterwards, like nobody ever recognized me, nobody ever noticed me, appreciated me, but I was saying, like when I see a fireman or a policeman, I stop and say, you know what, I thank you. Somebody has to be on the front line. Somebody has to do the dirty work. Somebody has to be a soldier. Somebody has to be on the border. Somebody has to be, you know, driving the ambulance. Somebody has to be on the front line. That's intercessors, as preachers, as teachers. Come on, somebody. It's everybody out there standing for righteousness. So then, praise the Lord, had me have the women stand up. And that's not what they wanted. The women wanted something different. And that's what I heard from the Lord. He said, you are pretty enough. You are smart enough. You know, your birthday is the right birthday. You're the right gender. You're the right height. You're the right weight. You're beautiful in His sight, and you're the bride of Christ. So don't let anybody else tell you differently. So what I got this week, because all that was in the past, was my husband got a dream twice. And he said, once that there was gods from little G-O-D that were coming out, and other people ran, and he was screaming, and I ran up to him, and I took authority in the name of Jesus. I said, no, we don't run, we fight. We stand up. We stand up. It's good to be a man. I'm not, but it's good that you're a man. I'm glad I'm a woman, and I am not ever going to be ashamed of that. So he gave me this week. He said, are you going to be like the five virgins that their lamp was full? And I said, okay, Lord, their lamp was full of what? He said, the Holy Spirit. That they had been fasting, they had been praying, and they had been humbled, and they had said, Lord, I want my family, I want my churches, I want my schools, I want my country, I want the border back in the name of Jesus. And I said, Lord, make me one of the five virgins that stands up and says, I want to be not half full. I want to be overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Enough to share. I don't ever want to be bone dry. So this week when I fasted and I prayed, what he did is he filled me up with this amazing peace. So I pray that peace over you, that when you know that you know that he's still on the throne, which you know that you're tall enough, you're smart enough, and man of God, Stephen John Mastronato, you are man enough. Stephen John, you are qualified.
Hallelujah.
You're tall enough. You're smart enough. You're handsome enough. You have enough money. You've been found faithful. So I speak over my marriage. I speak over my husband. It's not how much education. It's not, have you read the whole Bible? It's not how tall you are, how big is your muscles. It's how much you love the Lord and you're not ashamed of the gospel. That's my husband right there, and he is not ashamed of the gospel last week. 35 years of me praying, but look what the Lord has done. Stand up, mighty man of God. Anybody glad he's a man? Anybody glad he came? Anybody glad he's faithful? I am. This is my prayer, that you are glad to be who you are in Christ. Amen.
You know, the song when we were saying, how great is our God? When we were singing, how great are you, Lord? He is great. He is good. He is merciful and he is loving, is he not? So my heart this week has been that he is great. That's been resonating in my heart. When we go through trials and tribulations and we try to do things ourselves, I know I touched upon this before, but it's the same message that I keep hearing, that he is great and he is to be praised, is he not? Because he knows our hearts and he knows where we lack and he knows what we need. Before we even ask him, as the word says, he knows our needs and he supplies every need. So he took me to 131. What God's calling us to do is to be humble. Just humble ourselves and give it all to him. So he took me to Psalm 131 and it says, O Lord, my heart is not haughty, for my eyes, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with the things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. That's where we need to go. We need to go to that calming place. We need to humble ourselves. And we need to allow him to be the Lord of our lives. Not just Savior. And this all connects to Bible study this morning. He's not just our Savior. He is the Lord of Lords, the great I am. He is El Shaddai, Almighty God. And he's our Father. How much more blessed are we than recognizing that he is our Father and that we need to humble ourselves and give it all to him. Give it all to Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We walk on your Holy Spirit this day, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're working in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that we can come before you with boldness and know, Lord, that we are welcome at your throne. May your Holy Spirit continue to flow this morning, Lord, as I bring your word forward, Lord, that you will speak your heart through me, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the worship team. Thank you. Yes, amen. Thank you, worship team. You may be seated. Oh boy, I'm going to sit you in the back. No! Oh, I know. Oh, I know. So, how many of you like to have things your way?
Everybody.
And I think that's it, right? We don't give it much thought, but we all like to have things our way. You know, we think we have good ideas. We believe that we have, good advice for people. And so, you know, that can be a good thing, right? It's a good thing that we have confidence in who we are and we believe in what God has done with us. And so to have those things, it can be a good thing. But what happens when there's another, the person you're talking to or whatever, he has his good ideas and he has his good advice. So then you can have two conflicting things, right? We're a little bit different. And, you know, when we talk to somebody, we can give them something that we think, if they would only have listened, you know, that I had it together. And yet, the part I'm trying to get to is that we all have different ways of looking at life. Thank God that we were created to be individuals. Thank God that we were, he created us specific to what he wanted us to be. And so as we go today, what I'm going to be talking about is what that difference, the conflicts and the divisions that possibly could come from those things, that we want things our way and somebody else wants it their way. And before you know it, there's things that happen, whether it's, you know, whether it's in, even in our nation, as you see today, but worse yet, in our homes and in our churches, you know, there should be no conflicts. So what I want to start with today is in Acts, starting with 2, going through 42 and 47. And you're all familiar with a lot of these verses that I'm going to use. But it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and the signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Prior to this scripture, it says that right after Pentecost and Peter's first sermon, that 3,000 people were added right away after the Pentecost time. And so these people were already a larger group, right? But it started with 12 men. It started with 12 men that were commissioned by Jesus and then empowered by the Holy Spirit. It says here that all the believers were together and the Lord added to their numbers. The unity that these men, that these believers had, brought the more people. God blesses unity. God is about having all of us be united, united in him. The teachings of Jesus built strong moral values. And those values have slowly deteriorated and now being mocked and even silenced. What was bad is now good. And what was good is now bad. It seems like our whole world has literally flipped. Once it was good to be cool. Remember when you were cool? And now you got to be hot. Now you got to be hot to get any kind of approval. It's totally opposite, right? It doesn't even sound good anymore, does it? But it's a new generation, like always, searching for identity. And it seems harmless enough. But is it? Change is inevitable. And for the most part, it's a good thing. And today there's a focus on freedom of expression and tolerance. Just as a small group set the world in a godly direction, a small group, maybe even one person with a loud voice, can cause major division. Division that is tearing apart our nation, and even more sadly, our homes and our churches. The question is, where do we personally fit into this? Are we the solution or part of the problem? So let's go to Mark 12. We're going with 28 through 34. It says that one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." Okay, we can stop right there. It says, so Jesus gave us two commands that would cover all others. And I don't believe that any of us intentionally come against loving God and loving each other. Yet our actions and our words may say otherwise. When someone comes against us, our initial response is to strike back. So much for the fruit of the Spirit that we're supposed to exemplify. Talking is replaced by yelling or no communication at all, just silence. We are to be led by the Spirit and not submit to the tactics of the enemy, who is a master of causing chaos and division. We can despise someone because of their appearance, the way they speak, or simply because they don't agree or behave in a manner that meets our approval. That someone is also someone who was created in the image of God. That someone God loves as he loves you. It should not be a hard thing to love. The word says that God is love, and he lives within us. All we need to do is allow him to flow through us with no restrictions. Sometimes our capacity to love others, may be restricted because we don't know how to love ourselves. Loving yourself is an essential foundation for loving God and loving others. How can you give something that you don't have? Understand that loving ourselves can never supersede our love for God, but rather flow from it. Each day we are to fill ourselves with his love so that it overflows to those around us. Do you love who you are?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you had to think about it, then I want you to hear this. And God had given me this word when I was putting my sermon together. And what I'm going to say next is kind of goes along with Rebecca's word and even Paula Joy's word. And someone here needs to hear what was said through those words and what I'm saying next. And it says, you are a cherished creation of God, made in his image and deserving of love and respect. And I'm going to say that again because it's for somebody here, just as those words were here earlier. You're a cherished creation of God, made in the image and deserving of love and respect. I think there's some that have been put down, made to feel that you're not worthy, made to believe that that you had nothing to say. And I believe that God is saying to you today that that is a lie from the pit of hell. Okay? And so receive that, whoever you are. And like I said, Rebecca's word was also in that same context. So let's go, still in this area, Psalm 139. Psalm 139, 13 through 18. And this is still for you, that person that God just spoke to. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. And when I was made in that secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. We have been woven by the very hand of God. He knew you even before you were born, and he loved you. Even before you came to this earth, he loved you. And he loves you today. That God that we know today knew us before we were even a child. He knew us. And he loved you. And so receive that. So let's go to 2 Timothy 3. And I'm going to read just 1 through 4. It says, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. I read one too many, but that's okay. This scripture connects lovers of self in a negative way. It's speaking of selfishness. Self-love and selfishness are two different concepts. Self-love is nurturing a healthy relation with yourself while you consider others. Selfishness focuses on our wants without regard to others, wanting things our way. Pride and selfishness work together in this area. And I want to put that scripture still back on there, 1 through 4. And this scripture shows those things that are contradictory to the fruit that we should be producing. And I know even personally, I could do better in this area. There's certain things that I believe that we all need to work on. So the question to you is, where are you at with this? What can you work on? We all need growth. We all need to let God continue his transformation in us. He's always working us. He's always showing us something new. Sometimes there might be something that we deal with that just seems like we cannot conquer it. And in him, we can. We can conquer all things. And some of these things may seem unimportant. You say, well, I'm not hurting anybody because I do that. Some of these things, you may not even realize that you're doing it. But as you grow in God, he will give you new revelation. He will work in different areas of your life that need attention. And so just adhere to whatever he's saying to you. Not just today, but every time you get before him. What did David say? Search my heart. Show me. And I think that should be our prayer. That he every day he continue to search our heart. That he continue to show us those things that allow us to put a wall. He's not doing that. He loves you today as much as he loved you before you ever came to him. Amen. But it may be our own consciousness of the things that we do, of the things that we know we need work in, that keep us from freely coming to him. It's not him that's restricting, it's you that's restricting that. So find out what that is, if there is something. Okay, let's go to John 16. 16, verse 33. It says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Amen. Jesus told us that we cannot escape the troubles of this world. Division, violence, sickness, wars, and the such will always be in our midst. But he has also told us where to find peace and order. He has overcome the world. And even when things just don't seem like they're clearing up in our lives, we continue to deal with some of the things that are coming against us. Sometimes we can get so involved in what's going on that we forget where to find that peace and where to find that order. We forget that he's there. He's with us. He's walking with us. He's guiding us. But maybe we want to handle things on our own, right? I know what's good. My way is good. If it doesn't work, then I'll call on you, Jesus. A lot of times we go in those directions, don't we? It's like we think we got it all figured out. And then we find out that we should have been asking him all along. If we take our eyes off of all the negativity we see and hear and place them on Jesus, we would see that his spirit is moving in a very powerful way. He is moving. Seeing the chaos that exists in our college campuses may seem that we are losing our children. See all the different things that are in our TV shows of all these young people going crazy and whatever they do, they protest, they complain. Eventually that peaceful protest turns into a violent thing. And we see that, and we always look at it as we're losing this young generation. But then just change the channel or look it up on your phone, whatever you do, and then you can see a football field having a worship service filled with thousands giving their lives to Christ and being baptized. We have evidence of his spirit in this church. Our women and our men have grown in ways that are uncontainable. And even our young children are being blessed with boldness. These little guys are taking that mic and just sharing their heart, sharing God's heart. to a church congregation. We're not losing our children. They're being built. God is on the move. God is doing a good thing. He is. But what are we focused on? We focus on all the negativity, all the things that are not going right. And yet, like I said, turn your eyes to Him. Turn your eyes in His direction. The Holy Spirit wants to move in our nation and in the world, but it needs to start in our home, Amen. In our churches. And each of us has a choice. Do we allow the Holy Spirit to reside with us in our very own house? Or do we allow the Holy Spirit to unite us as it is God's will? This is the part that I feel we're sometimes we just overlook. Little things happen with our congregation. Little things happen in our homes. Things that might seem minute. But all you got to do is give the enemy just a little bit of leeway, and he turns that minute thing into a big explosion. Our place is not to allow that spirit of division to have its way. The Lord loves unity. Yeah. And He's doing that with His church today. He's uniting all of us. He is wanting us to be one. And He is asking you to start in your home. He's asking you to start in this church. He's asking you to see people the way He sees people. Allow people to have a different way of saying something when they're saying the same thing, just in a different way. I know my wife and I, we get going on that where we start talking about, yeah, this, yeah, that, and before we know it, we're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
We just have a different way of expressing, you know? It's not, but yet something that simple could turn into an argument in your house just because you weren't understanding that person. And the same thing happens in this church. Just because somebody didn't do something right or didn't say something right, pretty soon there's that silence maybe, you know, stay away. Allow God to work with you, through you. I'm not saying to accept everything that comes, but there are some things that we should look at a little more carefully. So I've got one more scripture, and this is Philippians. Aren't you glad I'm getting you out of here for that good meal? This is good. This is the first part. The spiritual meal, now you're going to go get the physical meal. Okay, so this is Philippians, and it starts with verse 1, Philippians 2, 1 through 5. And it says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in His Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. And this is kind of what I started my message with, that sometimes our selfishness can overtake the regard for others. And rather in humility, value others above yourself. Amen. Not looking to your own interests, but to each of you, to the interest of others. And sometimes that can be a hard thing to do, can it? You know, we all want to, as I said earlier, the two commands is love God and love others. We all want to do that. I don't think there's one person in this building that doesn't want to be in that place. And yet sometimes because of the whatever's going on, we forget about the others because, you know, it's more important for us. But at the same time, like I said, God, think about it, he loves us too. So we need to allow that to come forth. It says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus. When we can have the mind of Christ, when we can see the way that he sees things, then that unity will just flow through us. Life is not up to us to figure out. It can be simple and it can be stress-free. Love God. Trust God. Keep the eyes and ears of your heart open to him. Stay connected. Love those that he has placed in your life unselfishly. God loves us unconditionally, and he is more than worthy and deserving of our love for him. Please stand with me. Father God, we come before you. And Lord, each one of us has something that we need to come before your throne. Lord, we thank you that you are a God of unity. And Lord, we say that in the name of your Son, Jesus, division is not a part of this church body. Division is not a part of our home. The power verse said that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let it be that. As for us and this house, we will serve the Lord. Lord, we thank you that you're never done with us, Lord. You're always growing us, Lord. You're always showing us new revelation of where we should be and what we should be doing, Lord. Thank you that you never leave us where we are. There's always more. You're our God of more. And we want more. And Lord, as those words were given to someone here today, Lord, that they were wonderfully created, Lord, by your very hand, that they would see themselves in this way, that they are a beautiful creation, and that you love them. You love them more than they would ever understand. You take care of us, Lord. You're our protector. We find refuge in you. May we run to you, Lord, whenever the enemy is running towards us, Lord, because you fight our battles. Thank you, Lord, for the work of your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we know as I preach, Lord, that you are not just working in our midst, Lord, here. You are working throughout our nation, our world, with our kids, with all, Lord. We want to see your Spirit move. And we bless you and we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.